Good to see all of you here tonight in the house of God. Thankful for each and every one of you here tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Amen. Well, I guess the world didn't end Monday. I got my glasses, and I was looking up at the sun, watching that thing. Boy, it was so cool looking. But the earth didn't shake and nothing changed, and we're still here. But if you're one of those folks that live on the spooky side of things, September 23rd's coming up, folks. You can get ready. Amen. There's another planet out there, Planet X. Nobody's ever seen it. Nobody knows if it's there or not. But it's supposed to hit the earth on September 23rd. And it's going to wipe out all civilization as we know it today. You didn't know that. You better get the altar and pray. Praise the Lord. Somebody sent me a text on the eclipse of the sun and the moon. And they said, this is the beginning of 40 days of repentance. September 23rd is coming. We've got 40 days to repent. Well, friend, I tell you what, I need to repent today. I need some repentance today. Amen. Need to walk in that every day. So we'll see. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That sounds so good, doesn't it? To lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Amen. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. Praise the Lord. There's one God. We're going to answer to one God. And one mediator. Everybody said one mediator. One mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Praise the Lord. That scripture came to me, and it was just forceful. And I know I've seen this before, and I've preached from this before. But I want to talk about the only mediator. Amen. The only mediator. Amen. Somebody said the only mediator. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's only one mediator. Only one mediator. A mediator is a go-between. It is somebody that brings two parties together. It's a mediator. It's a middleman. It's the go-between. Literally, that's the definition, is a go-between. There's only one mediator. Praise God. And I just feel this so strongly. We need to know what we believe. And we need to know where we stand. Amen. Amen. The peace of God is not going to come on you because you've got peace with me. But you've got to have peace with God. Well, and if we're going to have peace with God, we've got to have peace with one another. It all goes together. But I'm telling you tonight, I'm not your Savior. As your pastor, I'm not your Savior today. I'm not the one that's going to pronounce blessings on your life. I don't have all wisdom. I know that throws everybody off tonight. You thought I was all-knowing, have all answers and everything. But I'm telling you, there's only one mediator. There's only one mediator. Lord, we thank you tonight for the word of God. We ask you to anoint it to our hearts. Speak to us. We give you thanks and praise tonight and glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 You can be seated tonight. God bless you. Let's get right into the word of the Lord. I know you've been working all week, and we've been working as well. And doing some manual labor. I know that's hard for you to believe, but we are here tonight to focus on the Word of God and focus on the Lord Himself. You know, I've said it many times in the past that when we look at the little children that are among us and how they get excited about a little toy or a little Lego or a little book or something along that line, I've said it many times that life's exciting when it's simple. Amen. And I'd like to add a little bit to this by saying that when we live a simple life, amen, and when we live in the simplicity of Jesus Christ, it is very exciting. The Bible talks about the simplicity that is in Christ. It is not complicated to live for God. It is not complicated to have the joy of the Lord in your life. It's just a matter of keeping it simple. Amen. My pastor always told me in preaching, he said, keep it simple. Amen. And he said it a little bit differently than that. He called it the KISS principle, K-I-S-S, keep it simple, stupid. Amen. That was my pastor. That's what he told us. And the more we complicate things, the more it gets confusing to people. I remember Brother Nathaniel Urshan, I heard him speaking to us younger ministers, and he talked about simplicity of preaching and to keep it to where people can understand it. He said he went into a prison and preached in one place and one time, and after it was over with, one of the inmates came to him and said, wow, that was one of the most tremendous messages I've ever heard. He said, I didn't understand a word you said, but it was an awesome message. And he began to think about that and thought, you know what? I need to change the way I preach and the way I say things. Amen. Paul spoke of living a peaceable and honest life, and it really sounds good. Amen. Because when life brings its complications upon us, it is easy to forget and easy to not remember to go back to the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so when we look at the Word of God here tonight, this understanding of God, everybody said God. When we have that concept and that understanding of God, that truth that there is God, that there is an Almighty God, I do have hope for our country. The other night, our president made a speech, and he said that there are some things that we need to do in our country, and one of them, he said, was to remember and understand that we are all created by an Almighty God. Amen. I thought that was really interesting and really good. Amen. This understanding of God is a very liberating thing, amen, in that it gives us the place to turn to when seemingly things get out of control in our lives. Amen. There is a purpose that God has for each and every one of us. Amen. God is not slipping through the cracks somewhere. He's not missing the boat somewhere, but God knows what's going on. And I believe tonight that He has the answer for us. Praise God. And there's a way to navigate through all of the complex and seemingly evil things that go on in life. Amen. There is a way, and it is to go to God. Amen. The simplicity that is in Christ, because there's only one mediator. Amen. I need God. Anybody else here tonight need God? I need God's wisdom. I need God's understanding. There's only one mediator between God and men, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. And what I desire more than anything in this life, as Paul wrote, and we read it here tonight, is to lead a quiet and peaceable and honest life. Amen. I don't want to have conflict with others. I don't want to have any hard feelings in my heart. Amen. I want to live in peace and quietness. Amen. Because it is a good way to go. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. It is the will of God that all men come to salvation. Somebody said amen. Amen. And that we come to the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth that I want to look at tonight is that very simple thing that we have already brought out, is that there is only one mediator. Amen. And the truth that I want to look at tonight is the one that makes all of this very simple and gives us an avenue for peace and quietness and honesty. Amen. So that we can live our life and be happy. I was teaching Bible study Monday morning, and one of the things that we somehow or another the conversation turned to, and that was happiness. And my student that I'm teaching is married, has four children, and he said, you know, he said, I lead a quiet life. My wife is very quiet, and he said, it's very quiet in our home. And he said, we look at people that have an awful lot of things, and he said, we don't envy them. We actually feel sorry for them. He said, we buy our clothes at Goodwill and at yard sales, but he said, you know what? We've got happiness in our home. Amen. We're happy, and that's what's important. And I agreed with him, praise the Lord, that if we can find that place in life where we can be happy, amen, where Paul said, I've learned to be content in whatever state that I am in. Praise God. And there is a way to do that, and it is to get to God. Amen. God has all the answers for us. That's why we're here tonight. We're here because of God. We're here tonight because of His grace, because of His goodness, because of His love, because of the sacrifice that He made for us. Amen. But no man can stand in the presence of God, for God is too high, God is too holy, God is too powerful. Amen. No man has seen God at any time. Amen. There is no way that anybody can approach unto Him. We need a mediator. Praise God. That is the fact of our existence. We need a mediator in our lives. We've got to have a go-between between us and God. Amen. And the Bible declares plainly that there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. And Paul wrote of this in the book of Hebrews as well. And this Hebrews scripture, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 and 7, gives us a better understanding of the ministry of Jesus Christ as mediator, and where we should go in the time of need. Amen. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6, it says, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. Amen. So he has obtained a more excellent ministry, and he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Amen. So we have a better ministry, we have a better covenant or testament, and we have better promises. Amen. You know what? When things are better, it's better. My goodness, help us tonight, Lord. Amen. It's better when we can obtain and go to a higher place. Praise God. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. And so Paul talks about this here in the Word of God. And he says that Jesus has become the mediator of the better covenant. Amen. To understand this, I think what we need is to go to the Old Covenant or to the Old Testament. And it was based upon a mediator. There was a go-between in the Old Testament, and it was the high priest. It was the man that was chosen by God. If we look at it a little bit here tonight, it was based upon him and him alone. He was to be of a certain tribe. The Bible says it was of the tribe of Levi. And this high priest that was the go-between or the mediator He could have no spot. He could have no blemish in his body. He had to be a perfect example of a man. And yet we know that even in his physical perfection, that spiritually he was not perfect. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He would go once a year into the holiest of holies and become the mediator between God and men. And there were promises that went with this. Amen. And yet it gives us the fact that no man can become the mediator between God and men because all have sinned. This high priest that was the mediator between God and men in the Old Testament, this man got sick from time to time. This man that was the mediator in the Old Covenant, he lacked understanding. He was not the all-knowing and all-wise God. This man who was the mediator in the Old Covenant was a man who became old and sickly and weak. Amen. This man who was the mediator of the Old Covenant was a man who no doubt had afflictions and troubles in his life from time to time. Amen. I could go on and on the list of the human frailties and the weaknesses of this high priest that was in the Old Testament. Amen. It was not good, and it could not come to pass that the people could put all of their salvation into the hands of this man, because he could not save them. He did not have the qualifications to be the highest mediator between God and men. Once a year, he would go into the holiest of holies, and he would talk to God. God would talk to him. He would come out and he would tell everybody what God had said. Praise the Lord. And when he did that, then they would wait for another year, and it would go on and on and on until there was someone else that was qualified to do this. As a man, he could only offer sacrifices of animals because that was all that was available. And we know, according to the scripture, that the blood of bulls and goats could not forgive sins. Amen. That it was not the highest form of covenant. It was not the highest form of spirituality. It was not a direct access to God, but it was simply to talk to another human being, and he would tell us what God said. That's as far as it could go. Amen. And there had to be a better sacrifice. There had to be better promises. There had to be a better way, because as the scripture says, I believe it's there in Hebrews chapter 9, that if there was no need for a better covenant, then there would not have been a better covenant. But there was a need for a better covenant. Amen. The first one was flawed, and it was flawed, I believe, because God was trying to show us the stark difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. Praise God, that he would show us the value of the covenant that we are in tonight. And the covenant that we are in tonight is very valuable. It is very powerful. Amen. It is far-reaching, and it will give you the joy of the Lord and the peace of God in your life. Amen. Thank God you don't have to go through me to get to God. Thank God you don't have to go through some other part of the ministry to get to God. Amen. We have one mediator, and that mediator is Jesus Christ himself. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so here we have a beautiful understanding when we look at the scripture here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, that there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. It just came to me again, and I got very excited about this. Amen. That it is another way of understanding the beautiful oneness of God and the mighty God in Christ. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful, beautiful understanding of the Word of God. And so we must look at Jesus. We must consider Jesus. We must understand Jesus. Amen. We must look at His glory and His power and go to Him. Amen. And when we go to Him, we are going to God. Amen. When we call on His name, we are calling on the name of God. When we baptize in His name, we are baptizing in the revealed name of God. Amen. When we pray for the sick in Jesus' name, we are invoking the name of God. Amen. It's not just a fancy, cute thing, but I'm telling you what it is. It is the direct route to God Almighty. There's not a complicated system of getting to God where you've got to go through a man, and then there's always those temptations that go along with that. Amen. A man can become political. A man can be bribed. A man can develop attitudes. A man can go off into false doctrine or false teaching. Praise the Lord. Men are not infallible. Amen. Men are not holy. There is none righteous. No, not one. Praise God. We're just here tonight. Amen. As redeemed individuals, we stand by the grace of God. We stand by the grace of God tonight. We do not stand upon anything else. And if we stand upon anything other than the rock Christ Jesus, then we are on shifting sand. And when the storms come, our house will be moved. When the storms come, we will receive great damage. But tonight we've got to dig deep. Praise God. We've got to get deep in Jesus. Amen. We've got to go down to bedrock and understand what it is that we believe tonight. Amen. We've got to have it deep in our heart what we believe tonight. Because if we don't, we're going to be shifted off of this foundation to something else. But there is nothing else. It is the only foundation. That there is no other foundation that can be laid than is laid. And that is Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Because He is the only mediator between God and men. If you want God, you need to get on your knees and start praying to Jesus. And you'll find God. Praise the Lord. If you're sick, you need to get on your knees and start praying to Jesus. And you'll be healed. Praise God. If you have a need of deliverance, you need to get on your knees and pray to Jesus. And don't stop until the deliverance comes. Amen. Don't pray to the pastor. Well, praise the Lord. Don't pray to anybody else. Amen. Don't go to anybody else. Oh, and thank God for counsel. Thank God for consistent counsel. Amen. In the midst of counselors, there's safety. Iron sharpeneth iron. We have dealings with one another, and that's of God. But that's not the ultimate place of knowledge and understanding. Amen. The ultimate place is in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. And there's only one way to get to the Lord, and that's through Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord. I'm beginning to feel something here tonight. Amen. We got to get down to bedrock. Amen. We've got to get down to what we believe and what we understand in the Scriptures. Praise the Lord. Brother Charlie, I love you, but you're not my joy tonight. Amen. Garrett, I love you, but you're not my joy tonight. Amen. Church, I love you, but you're not my joy tonight. My joy is found in one place, and that's on the solid rock, Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord. I'm not going to get to God through you. Well, praise the Lord. And let me go a step further here tonight. Amen. If you don't go with me, I'm going by myself. Well, I can't live for God because... Just erase that out of your vocabulary. I can do all things through Christ. He's the mediator. Amen. He's the one that I go to in time of need in my life. Praise the Lord. He is the mediator between God and myself. Amen. And all of us, we have these things that we deal with because we're human. Amen. It is a part of us. We were made subject to vanity, the Bible says. Not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. And so we have hope tonight. And hope that is seen is not hope. And so there are things that we're hoping for that we haven't seen yet. There are things that we're looking for that we have not received yet. There are promises that we're reaching for and we're believing God for that have not come to fruition. Amen. We were talking about my wife's mother and dad and their exemplary walk with God. And it's seemingly in this life they struggled here and struggled there. But I'm telling you what, friend, the ultimate result of living for God is when we step out of this world and we go to heaven and we're with the Lord for all of eternity. The Bible says that the sufferings of this present world are not to be compared. Amen. Bishop Johnson said that right from this pulpit. There is no way to even compare. Amen. The glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. And to compare it to the sufferings of this life. Amen. But there will be suffering and there will be tribulation. There will be afflictions. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And so with this beautiful understanding of Jesus, amen, we've got to know who he is. He is God manifest in the flesh. God and flesh. God and flesh. Amen. There is only one mediator that could possibly be the mediator. There is no way, humanly, there is no way possible that the mediator between God and men could be a 100% man, and that's it. Because a man cannot stand in the presence of God. He would die. Amen. And a man could not be God to the people because he's a man. Praise the Lord. And so we've got to understand who he is. Some say, and the folks that came to us here from Ethiopia, there was at one time a great revival in Ethiopia. And in fact, the prime minister of Ethiopia today is baptized in Jesus' name and has received the Holy Ghost. But there is a fatal flaw in their doctrine. There was literally millions of Ethiopians who experienced revival, but the head of the work there fell into false doctrine and began to teach that Jesus Christ was not a human, that he was, his flesh was divine flesh, and that the divine flesh of Jesus Christ is what paid the price for our sins. That could not be further from the truth. It is actual heresy. Amen. It is not scriptural. The flesh of Jesus Christ was not divine flesh. It could not be so because divine flesh cannot be flesh. Divine flesh cannot be tempted. Divine flesh cannot get hungry. Divine flesh cannot feel pain. Divine flesh does not get discouraged. And in fact, may I say tonight that there is no such thing as divine flesh. The two words go opposed to each other. You cannot have divinity and flesh at the same time. Well, praise the Lord. And so God is not flesh and blood, but God is a spirit, the Bible says. Amen. And so in order for God to come to us in our life, there had to be a mediator. It had to be God. And it had to be man. Praise the Lord. In order to relate to us, he had to be a man. He had to be able to get hungry. He had to be able to be tempted. He had to be able to die. He had to be able to suffer. He had to experience all of the things that we as humans experience. You and I cannot relate to someone who is completely divine. Amen. In fact, it says that no man has seen God and lived. Amen. There's of necessity a mediator, one mediator. Praise the Lord, not two or three, but one mediator, because humans cannot stand in the presence of God, because God is so high and we are so low. God is so holy and we are so unholy. God is perfect and all wise and knowing, and we are on the opposite spectrum. Amen. And yet, at the same time that he was God, he was man. Amen. The divine nature of Jesus Christ is the part that we see on the Mount of Transfiguration. Amen. Where they were not able to look upon him because of the brightness of his countenance. The Apostle Peter wrote about this in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. He says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." So we have Jesus Christ and we have the majesty of God. "For he received from God the Father," which, by the way, was the Holy Ghost. "He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." Amen. And so when we talk about men, we come up with cunningly devised fables. Praise the Lord. We come up with the Buddhists. We come up with the Mohammedists. We come up with those that have cunningly devised fables. And they say, "I am the mediator between God and men. If you'll follow my wisdom, you will become a god. You will find God." Amen. They are a mediator that we can hear from and we can be touched by. Amen. But if they are just a man, they cannot be the mediator between God and men. Amen. But a mediator must be God, and he also must be man in order to relate to us, in order to feel the pain that we feel, in order for us to have confidence in him. We must understand and know that he has walked down the road that I'm walking down tonight. That he has suffered even more, much more than I've suffered. Amen. That he was sorrowful, much more sorrowful than I've ever been at any point in my life. He understands what I'm going through. It's not a cliche. He does understand what I'm going through. He knows my frailties and my weaknesses. He understands where I'm coming from, and he knows what to do in that situation. Because he was a man. He was a man. He was completely a man. Amen. No man can mediate the covenant, nor the promises. No man can dispense grace. Here I am on that again. Amen. No man can be the dispenser of grace to withhold from you the blessings of God, or to decide whether to give you the blessings of God or not. There's only one that can do that. There's only one that can do that. Because as men, we, as I've already said, we have our frailties and our failures. Amen. God forbid that this power of grace would be invested into the hands of a mere man. Well, praise the Lord. No man can mediate the covenants nor the promises. No man can dispense or withhold the blessings of God from you. There's only one that can do that, and he is the one that we must fear. The one who can cast body and soul into hell. And that's not a man, that's the mediator. Praise God. That's God Almighty that can do that. And only God Almighty that can do that. He is the one that we must fear tonight. Praise God. to mediate between God and men. The mediator must be both God and man. Well, praise the Lord. There's only one way that anybody can mediate between God and men, and that is to be God and man at the same time. What a beautiful understanding of the oneness of God and who Jesus Christ is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14, the Word, or God, became flesh and dwelt among us. I know it's old hat for all of you here tonight, but I'm excited about this. Amen. Because I have a mediator tonight. I have a place to run and hide. Amen. Some of you don't have a place to run and hide. Amen. And you're not happy tonight. But I'm telling you, you can be happy. Amen. I said you can be happy if you'll just understand who is available to us tonight and the name that is available to us. The name of Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. Philip saith unto him, John 14 and 8, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Amen. And in the beginning was the Word, John chapter 1. Amen. And then it says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And then it goes on, and it says that He came full of grace and truth. He's the only one God. He's the only wise God. There is only one God. Amen. And anybody, I'm going to make this statement here tonight, but anybody who steps into the place of God is in blasphemy. That's a powerful statement, but I'm going to make that statement tonight. Because anybody who steps into the place of God Almighty and becomes the mediator between God and men, they have said, I am a man, but I am God as well. And that is blasphemy, my friend. We cannot abide by that. Amen. We cannot accept that. We cannot even listen to that. It is so far away from the truth. I fear, amen, that this doctrine is going to begin to spread. But God help us, let it not spread in this church. Amen. We need to know what we believe and what we stand on. And it doesn't matter if the elders say it's right. I'm telling you tonight, it's not right. And our elders have not accepted this that I know of. Amen. But there is only one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Jesus Christ. To say that I can give you the grace of God is blasphemy. It's not truth. It is not based upon the Word of God. There is only one. Amen. My favorite person is Jesus. My favorite preacher is Jesus. My favorite counselor is Jesus. My redeemer is Jesus. My provider is Jesus. The wisdom of God is Jesus. The power of God is Jesus. The Word of God is Jesus. The grace of God comes through Jesus. I can do all things through Jesus. This is the book of Jesus that we're preaching from tonight. Amen. It's not the book of Greg Wirth. It's not the book of anybody else. It's the book of Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Revival comes when we lift up Jesus Christ. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. And nobody can measure up to Jesus. The greatest preacher among us cannot measure up to Jesus. He's the greatest of the greatest. Praise God. And He hung on that cross. And He humbled Himself unto the death of the cross. And when He gave up the ghost, this is how I look at it here tonight. The very second that He gave up the ghost and He died, and the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom, It was the very moment that God left the human body. Because the Bible says, in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Praise God. But the very moment that He died on the cross, God had to leave that body, because that body became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And God could not abide in a body that was sin. And He left, and it was a tearing. Amen. It was a ripping. Praise God. Hebrews says that the veil was His flesh. There was a tearing. And that's why He said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Because the Father, God Almighty, left that body, which was 100% man and 100% God at the same time. And when He left, sin came into that body and He became sin. He took on the sins of the world, my friend. And He died on that cross and shed His blood for you and I. Amen. There's not a preacher in the world. There's not a man in the world. There's not a prophet in the world, an apostle in the world. And I include the 12 apostles of Jesus, who had the ability to forgive sins and to take on your sin or my sin. Folks, I can't carry your sin. I can't carry your burden for you. I'll pray for you. I'll preach to you. I'll help you as much as I can. But I'm telling you, there's only one place to go, and that is to the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Oh, praise God. What an awesome revelation of who Jesus is. Thank God for the fivefold ministry. I said, thank God for the fivefold ministry. I appreciate the elders. These are Christian people. They love God, and they're really, their heart is in this completely. I love the fivefold ministry. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. But I'm telling you what, it is not the fullness. And it will never measure up to the place of mediator. It will never measure up to the place of dispenser or high priest. Because the Bible says Jesus became our high priest. He was not only the high priest, He was the sacrifice. He did not only pass through the veil, He was the veil. He did not only go into the holiest of holies, He was the God in the holiest of holies. He was everything. He was all in all. It doesn't matter who you're talking about. Thank God for the fivefold ministry. I appreciate our elders of our church. I appreciate those men that have graced our pulpit and blessed us. And we could go through the names, and it's been some great preachers that have come into this church. But I'm telling you tonight, friend, if you're putting your hope in Pastor Worth's, if you're putting your hope in Bishop Johnson or in Elder Riley or Brother Elder or whoever else is your favorite preacher, Brother Wilson, anybody else that you could name here tonight, I'm telling you, they're going through troubles themselves. They're seeking for answers themselves. You know where they're going? They're going to the mediator. And you know where you need to go? You need to go to the mediator. Well, praise God. Praise God. Because the day is going to come when pastor's going to take his last breath. And somebody else will fill this pulpit. What are you standing on tonight? What is your foundation on? Well, he don't do it like pastor does it. He don't say it like pastor used to say it. Oh, we'll just have a, we'll just sit around and have a remember the good old days group. No, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go back to the foundation again. And we're going to say this church was not built upon Pastor Worse. This church was not built upon a personality. This church was built upon the Word of God. I've taught all of you, many of you, Bible studies and the Word of God. You've taught each other. You've taught others. There's others that are being taught right now. But I'm telling you what, we have to get to the place. Or if we don't, we're going to get bored with it. We're going to get bitter about whatever, because we're talking about people here tonight. We're talking about humanity here tonight. But there is one and only one place where we can ascend, where there is peace and a quiet life, a peaceable life, and an honest life and a righteous life. Well, praise God. And that's when I go to Jesus. God forbid we ever run into trouble here. But I'm telling you, if we do, we better seek Jesus. Because if you don't, all you're going to do is look at each other's faults. And all that is carnality. Because, brothers and sisters here tonight, Fred, you can't make me happy. I can't make you happy. I know that there are others that we think will make us happy. But there are days that will come when it may not seem like there's joy. And you know what? That's normal. It's normal. Because humanity, amen. Anna, when that guy comes along and scoops you up, she don't believe that. No, you got to go like this. Amen. When he comes along and scoops you up, amen. I'm telling you tonight, there's only one place of joy. It's not going to be roses and stars and bells. You folks know this. I preached this for 20-plus years here. Amen. And God help me. Now what do I do? I'm telling you, you got to get your roots down to Jesus. It goes to Jesus. If you've got a friend in the church, I've had friends in the church that turned their back on me. And you know what? I went to God in prayer, and he worked it out. Praise the Lord. You know what? You've got friends in this church, and there may be some that have done you wrong. But I'm telling you tonight, if all you're focusing on are the things, the carnal things of this world, you will not be a happy person. You will not be filled with the joy of the Lord, because you're putting your stock in a person. You cannot put your stock in a person. There is only one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Oh, well, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, I looked up to them so much, and then all of a sudden they backslid. And now I don't know what I'm going to do. There's only one mediator between God and men. There's only one who holds the key. Come on, somebody, help me here tonight. I'm trying to lay this on a little solid foundation here. I love preaching. I love the ministry. I love the saints of God. I love the church. I love this church. That wasn't a very good response, but I love this church. I love you folks. I pray for you. Amen. But I'm telling you, if you're expecting the pastor to come by every week and pat you on the back and tell you how much you're appreciated just to keep you coming and just to keep you happy, I'll tell you what, I have failed as a pastor. Because what I'm establishing is I am the mediator between you and God. And the only way you'll be saved is if I help you, is if I lift you up, is if I say good things to you, and I do what you expect me to do. I spoke to a backslider here a while back, and he said, well, I'm just looking for a church that's not so big that the pastor can't come by every week and see me. And it was at a funeral, and so it wasn't appropriate, but I was so close to saying, you have missed the whole concept of living for God. Amen. You've missed the whole concept. It's not about me coming over. And I like to say, hey, Hunter, it's good to see you. And he's got a good-looking tie and a shirt on there tonight, looking good. Amen. But you know what? I might miss you one service. And maybe you're standing there and you turn to look at me just as I turn away, and the devil will say, Pastor, don't like you anymore. And he'll say, you don't even need to go to church where the pastor don't like you. And before you know it, after a while, you're going to think, Pastor don't like me, and then you're going to be looking for all sorts of things to happen. And if you see something, then all of a sudden you, yeah, that's right, he don't like me. And before you know it, you don't want to come to church, you don't want to pray. But why should I? The pastor don't like me. Are you with me here tonight? And it won't just work that way with me. It'll work with that way with everybody else. The devil don't want you to go to heaven. I'm going to finish here shortly. The devil don't want you to go to heaven. Amen. And he'll tell you all sorts of lies. But I'm not your mediator, Hunter. I can't get you to heaven. I can preach till I'm blue in the face or until your shirt's blue, one of the two. I can preach until I'm red in the face and I fall over and gasp my last breath. But you know what? I can't get you to heaven. Gavin, I can't get you to heaven. I can't pray for you. Your mom and dad can't pray for you. I can't get you to heaven, Isaac. I cannot get you to heaven, Nathan. I cannot get you to heaven, Garrett or Tessa or, what's your name, Chas. See, Pastor don't even know my name. Here I am singing up on the platform. He don't even know who I am. I know who you are. I can't get you to heaven, Elizabeth. I can't get you to heaven, Courtney. I can't get you to heaven, Chas. Anna. These are my sisters. Praise the Lord. I love these girls. Can't do it. I'll try. I'll do my very best. But you know what? In my very best, I fall short. You know why? Because I'm just a man. I'm just a human being. Did you hear that tonight? But there's one who is a man and God at the same time. There is one who has ultimate resources to help us in any situation and circumstance. His name is Jesus. But I thank God for the ministry. I thank God for the fivefold ministry found in Ephesians chapter 4. And you don't have to turn there. And the Bible does say, submit yourselves to them that have the rule over you. Amen. Obey them and submit yourself, for they watch for your soul. Praise the Lord. Why does it tell us to do that? Because sometimes it's hard to submit. Amen. Sometimes it's hard to, you know, go along. He asked me to mow the grass again the second week in a row. I wonder what's wrong. What's wrong with somebody else doing it? Have you ever thought that? No, never mind. Fred's perfect. He don't think any of them kind of things. Amen. I'll tell you what tonight. My confidence is not in you. My confidence is in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And I'll tell you what. Let me go a step further. I don't even know what time it is, but God help me. But I'm telling you what tonight. I do not mind coming and cleaning the church. My wife and I do not mind doing that. And we've done it for several months now. So guess what? Now I've got something on all of you. Well, I ain't got time. Sorry, that ain't going to fly. Praise the Lord. Through the hot summer, I was the one that mowed the grass at this church. But you know what? I'm not standing here complaining. I weed-eated. I cut the sidewalks and all that. And nobody said, Pastor, looks good. I went by the Baptist church up there, and I saw the pastor of the Baptist church. He's out there mowing the grass. You know what, Fred? If God ever uses you in any kind of ministry, there's going to be a time you're going to be sitting on a lawnmower. And not a single person in the world is going to say thank you. Not a single person in the world is going to say good job. Nobody's going to say anything. Well, they could have done it, but they just didn't. And I'm upset about it. You know what? You got your eyes on the wrong thing. It's not, this is not a job. This is my calling, to live for God, to do the work of the Lord. Praise the Lord. A lot of you know what I'm talking about. You spend a lot of hours, and you help, and you work, and you labor. But I'm telling you, the devil will try to get you off the track by saying there is another mediator, and there is no other mediator. There's only one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Thank God for apostles. Thank God for prophets. Thank God for teachers. Thank God for pastors. Praise the Lord. It's the will of God. It's the plan of God. Praise the Lord. It's the plan. Why did God do it that way? Well, I'll finish here. But the reason God did it that way, that he put a fallible person in leadership, is so that ultimately we would see there's only one leader that we are, well, how shall I say this tonight? There's only one leader that can lead us to heaven and bring our joy and our confidence and all that, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Over the years of living for God, I've seen people fall. I've seen people leave. I've seen people get upset. And I've also seen people who, in the midst of great tribulation, served God, came to church faithfully, was happy, always in the altar praying and seeking after God. And I'll tell you, I've always wanted to know how they thought about things. And when I get around them, I talk to them, and I find out that it was the simplicity of Christ. They didn't spend a lot of time thinking about stuff, but they spent their time thinking about him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. But Pastor, my problem is complicated. That's too simple. My friend, it doesn't get any more simple than that. We need Jesus. Can we stand together tonight? Can we stand together tonight? Praise the Lord. Can we just give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Amen. That's okay. I just need one up here. Both of you want to come, that's fine. Amen. We're not going to sing a long time here tonight. I know everyone is tired from the week of work and all of that. But folks, we've got to establish this. There's only one mediator. There's only one mediator. And if I get to the place as a minister where, and you get to the place as a saint of God, that you have to have me to live for God, either you have made me into a god, or I have made myself into God. And folks, it's not right. It's not God's plan. It's not God's way. Amen. If I can't live for God because of Jesus, I'll never live for God for anything else in all the world. He's my Savior. Is he your Savior tonight? Can we just lift our hands right now and talk to him? Lord, you're my Savior. You're my Redeemer. You're my Provider. You're everything. You're all in all. Oh, God. You're God and you're